the story of the Transfiguration and its connection to the Abraham story in the Old Testament reading gives us our context for this second week of Lent. Because these two things are greatly connected. It helps us to understand the rhythm that our travels through Lent should be taking us, and hopefully gives us a better idea of our final destination, which is Holy Week, the Mass of the Lord's Supper, veneration of the cross, the Easter Vigil, and the morning of the resurrection. There are some things that we need to consider as we plan our way through Lent. We're into it now, which is our second Sunday, and there are some things that may be helpful to us to look back upon and help to guide us as we move forward. You know, first, our trip through Lent takes work. It's exertion. You know, we need to apply ourselves. You know, asking a 75-year-old Abraham to climb a 10,000-foot mountain, the mountain where Abraham was to sacrifice his son. You know, it was a long, he was 75 years old, and he had to take his son, and then he had to find the wood and do all of that. So it was work for him to climb the top of that mountain. And it was no less work for Jesus and his three friends to do the same thing where he would be transfigured. He wanted the friends to see him being glorified because he had just revealed to them his first prediction in Mark's gospel of his crucifixion. He wanted to connect the willingness of making a sacrifice from a father of his only son and the glorification that comes from obedience to God and his invitation. You know, the only thing Jesus asked his people to really do is to follow me. Yeah? And the glorification was an indication to them of what the final destination would look like. Next, our faith requires work as well during the Lenten season. You know, we learn what real faith is about. You know, Abraham waited a long time with his wife to have their child. And now the God in which he trusted so deeply is saying to him, come on, I want you to sacrifice him. You know, it requires faith that God's plan for Abraham and his promises would be fulfilled if he only had faith and followed. And he did. God's messenger spared Isaac, and Abraham became the father of many nations, just like God had promised. So we understand that our faith is in God's promises. He promised to send his son to be our savior, and he has. He wants us to follow him this way, just as we have in so many other ways through our own lives. Lent requires sacrifice. You know, it's nice for those of us who are giving up candy or alcohol or the Olympics or whatever else we're planning on not doing. But what he really wants from us is to identify the things that keep us from being his people and sacrifice them at the altar. You know, get rid of them. Be done with them. You know, there are so many idols in all of our lives that we have grown so fond of that we feel very uncomfortable in releasing them. But once we do and we make the kind of sacrifice he's asking us to make, our lives become lighter. You know, we become freer in order to follow him the way he wishes us to follow him. There's a part of our Lenten observance for the people who were seeking admission to the church through the rite of Christian initiation of adults And in the weeks right before Easter are called, the weekends are each one's called a scrutiny. Now, there's no test involved, in here, we'll fill out this examination paper. But the people coming to present themselves to be baptized or fully initiated are asked to scrutinize themselves, to look at themselves in the light of the gospel readings, and to see what they need to do before they really present themselves to become part of the universal church. It's a very poignant time for these people, because some of them have absolutely no faith training from ever. They're absolutely unchurched and no background whatsoever. And it's a beautiful time when the lights begin to come on. It's like, oh, that's what that means. And it's the same time for us. We can take that time to scrutinize our own lives to figure out what we need to jettison ourselves of. The transfiguration in this time of Lent gives us a vision of the glory God gives us. And it could come in some very, very small things. I shared something with Father today that happened this morning. Weeks ago, I was asked if I would be willing to do a committal service over at Holy Redeemer Cemetery this morning. It was scheduled for 11:30 in the morning. And I got there at 11 o'clock, like a dutiful deacon ought to, plenty of time to park and find out where everybody is and all that. Walked up to the office, there were three people standing outside, and I said, "Hi, are you from Marie's family?" And they said, "No, we're from Becky's family." And I went, "Well, what time's your committal?" They said, 11:30. Now I'm thinking, Marie's supposed to be committed at 11:30. Well, it turned out, the family changed the time of the committal from 11:30 until 10 a.m., and nobody told me. So now I'm sitting down with Mary Pat over there. I'm on a first name basis with both of her first names, right? And I said, I don't like letting families down. And I was very calm, which surprised me, because I'd usually be irate over something like that. I said, I've let these people down. But I how do I go back to them? And he said, well, it was their decision, and this and that. And I said, okay, but the communication. So we're going through the process all of figuring out what went wrong and how I'm trying to figure out how you're gonna fix it. And I said, well, okay, all right, we'll figure it out. Thank you. Have a great day. And I'm walking back to the car, and 2 minutes later, she follows me in the golf cart from over there, and she taps me on the shoulder and said, Deb's family that you were talking to? I said, yeah. They're from another parish, and nobody arranged the deacon to come for the committal service for their mother. And I said, what are you saying? She said, well, she's here, they're here, and you're here. And I said, okay, no problem, And so I was there for a committal service, and by God's grace, I was able to do a committal service. It wasn't the one I planned, but it's the one that I was supposed to be there for. How many times in our lives do we have opportunities like that to be present for someone who is in need, where we can do something small like this that's no inconvenience to us? We're there anyway. Why can't we step up and do that more often? To recognize that it's an opportunity that God has presented before us, to understand not only his love for us, but how we're supposed to impart that love to the other people who are around us in our world. And the way we can accomplish that is the final part. Because Lent requires listening. I knew a priest years ago who always used to say, I really hate it when God isn't talking to me. And I said, well, Father, they have medication for people who hear voices in their head now, Thank God we were friends, But a situation like this required me to say, oh, okay. All right. I didn't hear a voice except Mary Pat, asking me to make a very small sacrifice that was nothing inconveniencing to me whatsoever, but meant everything for this family. There had to be 15 or 18 people that showed up for the committal, and had there been no way there to do it, the prayers wouldn't have been said over the cremains or the place of committal. God speaks to us so many different ways and so many different times. He gives us the opportunity to be in his service. But unless we find ways through faith to jettison ourselves of the things that keep us from being in his service, and we're calm enough to understand the glory that he gives us to be his people in the world to others who need us, and that we're calm enough to listen to what he's saying to us and accept the work, that's the process he wants us to follow from now to celebrate Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection during Holy Week. That's what he wants of us in this Lenten season. And all these things culminate here in the Mass. If you think about all those individual elements, it's exactly the formation of the Mass from the beginning right through to the dismissal. We've not had to climb any high mountain. We've had to hop in our cars and drive to Rose Canyon Circle, which was something of an exertion. Thank God you're here. Thank God you're willing to make this sacrifice. Thank God you're willing to jettison the things that you don't need so that we're able to be light enough to hear the words that he speaks to us. And the words we really deep down, want to hear him say to us, well done, my good and faithful servant. And all that comes as we purify ourselves during these 40 days of Lent.